There are lots and lots and lots of words spoken around Christmas. Lots of greetings warmly given and received. Lots of conversations over mince pies and mulled wine, if you're so inclined. A lot of meaningless and meaningful chit-chat over the stove and over the dinner table. A lot of excited exclamations about the glory of new toys, or exasperated shouts about breakages or things not being quite what they seem. A lot of words on Christmas specials on television, on the radio, a lot of words in the news and in our newspapers. Words and words about New Year's resolutions, about what we might give up and what we might take up. A seemingly endless barrage of words. And of course, the word count rises at church. There are countless carols sung, many prayers prayed, a lot of Old Testament prophecies looking towards the coming of our Saviour read out, a lot of poetry, a lot of other stories, and of course a lot of the reading of the Gospel narratives leading up to and around Jesus' birth. And so today we come to those words usually associated at the time of Jesus' birth, but actually more likely coming a couple of years later. The story of the wise men arriving to worship, the story of Jesus, Mary and Joseph fleeing. Next week, for those of us that are here, we will be taking part in our Methodist Covenant service, one of my very favourite services of the year, but another one with many words spoken and many words prayed. And so this morning, and I'm going to fail, I realise I'm failing already, I want to strip back the words and keep the words to minimum, to give us a bit of space to pray and to listen and to be still with God and see where, at the beginning of this new year, God might be prompting us, where God might be speaking us. And so I want to offer a couple of fairly brief reflections on that long passage which we heard from Matthew's Gospel this morning, recounting the story of the wise men visiting Herod and then Jesus, and then being prompted in a dream to return home by another way so as to avoid Herod. The story goes on and Joseph is prompted by another angel in another dream to head to Egypt, also to avoid Herod's fear and anger. So just a couple of thoughts I want us to consider, and then after which we will have a short piece of music played and a time to listen to God and to just reflect on what God might be saying to us at the start of the year. My first thought is this, and perhaps this is obvious and this is something we've been thinking about at various times over the last year or two, but the statement of fact that Jesus, Mary and Joseph spent several years as refugees. The Son of God was a child refugee. His adult parents sought asylum in another country to avoid very real physical dangers. There is sometimes a danger in the way it's reported, in the way we talk about refugees, that we somehow see these people as being other, as being separate, as being a different class or a different quality or a different type of person to us. But God did not see it in that way. God does not see it in that way now. God became incarnate in Jesus Christ, and God in Jesus lived the life of a refugee. God knows and has experienced firsthand the suffering. God knows the displacement. God knows the hardship and the humiliation, the danger and the risk. Malcolm Guite, a poet who I've read a couple of things from over the last year or so, addresses this issue in his poem, Refugee. It says this: "We think of him as safe beneath the steeple or cosy in a crib beside the font, but he is with a million displaced people on the long road of weariness and want. For even as we sing our final carol, his family is up and on that road, fleeing the wrath of someone else's quarrel, glancing behind and shouldering their load. Whilst Herod rages still from his dark tower, Christ clings to Mary, fingers tightly curled. The lambs are slaughtered by the men of power, and death squads spread their curse across the world. But every Herod dies and comes alone to stand before the Lamb upon the throne." that simple line, but he is with a million displaced people on the long road of weariness and want, for even as we sing our final carol, his family are up and on that road. If we believe, which we do, that Jesus Christ continues to dwell with us today, then we believe and we know that Jesus dwells with those many, many refugees on the Syria-Turkey border. That Jesus dwells with those people making terrifying and dangerous journeys across Europe and across the Mediterranean, even as we speak. We believe that Jesus dwells with those in Aleppo and in other places of extreme danger. A friend and colleague of mine did an amazing picture which she called The Exiles, which I hope you can see. It's of Mary and Jesus in those kind of life rafts, which the people traffickers may or may not supply those that are attempting to make those journeys across the Mediterranean. I think it's a powerful image, and it places once more Jesus in the very midst of our human suffering. We often wonder whether we can do anything about these sorts of situations. And of course we can and do pray. But we can also give to the charities that are working out there. In Cottenham over the last year there's been many activities, and we've contributed here at Histon Methodist to the Cottenham Cares for Syrian Refugees initiative, which has raised over £20,000 now towards those charities, big respectable charities working on the Turkey-Syria border. My friend who did this piece of artwork, was collecting funds for MOAS, which is, I've forgotten what it is, but it's people that are really working with those on the Mediterranean, working with those trying to get safety on the seas and providing boats and life jackets and trying to help in absolute peril. So we might want to consider whether we can give to them. So when we come to our time of meditation in a few moments, I want us to consider, firstly, this kind of issue, this idea that Jesus, Mary and Joseph were refugees. In the greater story of Jesus' birth and life, the three kings couldn't do everything to save him. They couldn't prevent Herod from doing what he did, but those three kings did something. Those wise people did something. They did their part. They brought their resources, they brought their gifts, their worship, and they refused to return to Herod. They lived a risky life themselves for the sake of Jesus and to follow God themselves. And we often feel powerless, I think, in the face of something like the refugee crisis. And we can perhaps lapse into a sense of despair about it, or even a sense of apathy about it. But as I said, we can commit our prayers. We can commit our resources. We can badger our local MPs to be proactive in how we receive and treat refugees and those seeking asylum. So when we come to our little time of meditation, I want us to make it not just a purely prayerful, spiritual, in inverted commas, kind of moment, but asking God how we might act as God's people in this new year. The second thing I just want to, and it's linked to this, I suppose, in a way, the second thing I want us to briefly consider during our time of stillness and prayer is this. Are we, at the beginning of this new year, as open as those wise men were? Are we as open as Joseph and Mary were to changing our direction? Are we open and willing to go on a different journey to the one we might have been expecting? Perhaps might want to call it a New Year's spiritual resolution or something similar. But are we willing to open ourselves up to God's voice in amongst all the many other words being spouted at us, even from me and from many others? Are we prepared to give space to listen to God's voice and to hear what God might be calling us into in this new year? There might be a new journey or a new direction. There might be a new challenge. What might our fresh start be? What might our new direction be? Might God be calling us to a change of heart? Might God be calling us to a different way of thinking? Might God be calling us to a renewed commitment to hospitality, to refugees, to other people? As you know, I'm certainly not the sort to prescribe what that might be, and I've already used more words than I really wanted to, but I'd like to give us, each of us, the space for God to speak and God to answer or help prompt us in what that new direction might be. We'll be singing Christina Rossetti's In the Bleak Midwinter later on, and it ends with the fairly famous refrain, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart." I would want to say that today we bring our hearts to God, but not just our hearts, but our minds, our hands, our legs, our skills, our wallets, our voices, our words, and more. So as we listen to the song that we're going to play, it's just maybe 3 minutes or so of this song, which imagines that, kind of reimagines the three wise men making a different journey, deciding to take the long way round the sea, deciding to change their plans for the sake of God and for the sake of Jesus. As we listen to that, perhaps we bring to mind those people in Aleppo, the Turkey-Syria border, those people making dangerous journeys across Europe, and perhaps we bring to mind the year to come and ask God, "What can I give to you? What direction are you calling me in next?" So we'll be still. If the music is no use to you, then just block it out. If the images aren't helpful, then close your eyes or look at something else. But let's use this time to give God space to speak to us at the beginning of this new year.